Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's.
Well, good evening, or good day, depending on when you're joining us. We'd just love to have you here. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Let's all get decided to just kind of scoot up to the table and see what we have for a wonderful conversation tonight, or if you're going by demand and checking us out while you're driving around and having a good time. I am Robin Misevich, one of the regular diners here at the cafe, and we welcome you. And we have Mr. Jamie tonight. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie's doing pretty good, and I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
And what do you do for a living, mister?
I'm a tattoo artist by trade, and I have a shop up here called Chromome, and we've been up here about 17 years.
17 glorious years. I believe
I help people with their psychic armor.
Their psychic armor, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Their psychic expressions. So there you go. That's good.
Okay, that's
what it is, a mixed expression. So there you go. We'll talk about that tonight a little bit. And Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Hello, Robin. It's wonderful to be here. I'm so glad that we're on the air tonight.
Yes, so am I. And Gloria is calling us from the beautiful Southern California, San Diego area. How is it in San Diego tonight?
Tonight it's nice and cool. It was warm today, and so it's kind of a nice change.
There you go. So this morning I started doing something I hadn't done for quite a while, which was go out and actually spend a little time in my garden. And I've always had such a special connection when I've spent the time to just go around and just connect with my plants and, you know, do a little watering, a little pruning, things like that to get connected. And I just felt really very inspired to just really encourage everyone to come from a new level of just connecting to nature, connecting to the flow, the natural flow, the natural rhythm of things, when we can just be, you know, totally based in the creative sources of the earth. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. I was thinking of that, too, is just, you know, as I take care of the creation of things, creation takes care of me. I just thought that was such a beautiful thing that just kind of inspired me this morning, and going back to watering my roots, my spiritual roots. It always seems like such a blessing when you can take time to really slow down and just be in this place of just a quiet level of just intimate connection when it comes to being with nature. And I thought that would be something fun we could talk about tonight, just coming from that level. I was watching Oprah's been doing a really wonderful job with her her Sunday Soul series. She took the whole season this last year of just all these different, you know, key questions that she asked a bunch of different teachers, you know, Marianne Williamson or Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer, just some of these really wonderful teachers that have been out there, Deepak Chopra, and was asking them about, you know, what is soul? And a couple of them were very wonderful in talking about the level of creation, feeling that when it comes to levels of being creation, you know, coming from your creative source, you really come from your soul source, your spiritual source. And I know Miss Gloria has something wonderful to share about that. Go ahead, Gloria. Sure.
I missed the first part. I was sneezing.
Oh, you were sneezing? I was talking about, you know, coming from a level of being co-creative with the creator when it comes to creativity, that's like the highest level of a soul expression that we really can come from when it comes to levels of connecting to ourselves and just on a spiritual level with ourselves and what that's all about. I thought it would be wonderful if you could share about that a little bit, a little flowing water in the background there.
Well, it most definitely is. And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind when you were saying that, and I don't know why, but it's like, you know, everybody has wonderful, beautiful ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get caught up in life, or you may say, hey, you know, I had that idea, and somebody else has already done it. Well, one of the things that I had heard is that when you have an idea, it could be your idea, or it could be an idea that is basically given to you energetically, and there's like this repository, kind of like a bank of ideas that is kept in the ethers. And so, you know, if there's something that we want to create, but for some reason we don't get to it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like there's this general consensus, and the more people that are tuned into this repository, the more momentum that we can create
mm-hmm.
with creating change, and it's all connected to Creator.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that phenomenon, too, that when it seems like when something gets invented or there's this idea that comes into the world, that it happens three or four places simultaneously on the planet. You know,
yes.
Within even days. And, you know, we've talked before on the show about the 100th monkey idea, where, you know, that came back from observers of I'm trying to remember what kind of monkeys it was, but there were some monkeys that lived on these different islands, and they all were washing their sweet potatoes. And
Weren't they reef monkeys?
I think they were reef monkeys. I'm trying to remember what islands that was. But these zoologists were observing the animals, observing these monkeys, and they noticed that one in particular would take its sweet potato to this little creek and wash the potato before it would eat it. And then all of a sudden, all the rest of them on that one island were doing the same thing. Well, pretty soon the zoologists were checking in with the other you know, their other groups that were observing all the different monkeys and stuff. They said, yeah, all of them are doing it at the same time. You know, that's one reason they started calling it the 100th monkey idea. You know, this idea gets on the planet, and all of a sudden everybody's doing it on whatever level. You know, whether it's a sweet potato idea or whether it's a different level of technology, whether it's another level of, you know, having you know, getting rid of old leases don't serve us anymore. I mean, there's constantly ways that we can continue to evolve and expand and change the way we think of something and making it to something that can better ourselves and better, you know, humanity at the same time. Because, I mean, there's that concept out there that if I can change the way that I'm viewing the world, that it really just matters that I'm the one who's making the choice of being, you know, choosing the higher road, the better road of, like, I'm better than that, or I can choose something that's more uplifting to the planet and know that just the fact that I've changed it, it changes everything, you know. Because, you know, there's that other thought out there that says it's all about me. So there you go.
Well, you know, based on the 100th monkey concept, I've wondered often. I think I shared with you that I had seen this one particular bird. I was on a business road trip,
mm-hmm.
and I had stopped for gas, and we pulled in, and I noticed that there was this little bird. I don't know what kind of, it's like a gray, I always want to call it a catbird, but it's kind of gray. It's not a starling, but it's really spiky like a starling.
Mm-hmm.
And it would jump up onto the car in the front. And we were coming around, and I thought, well, this is kind of puzzling. At first, it didn't really sink in very much. And then I looked, and this bird kept doing it. And so I stood there, and I watched him, and I saw this bird jumping from the ground up onto the bumper of different cars. And I watched him, and he was picking off fresh bugs. From the grill.
Oh, so he was helping to have a new car, because every time a new car came up, the car was basically, you know, going through all.
It was
just,
his buffet.
Yeah, he was just getting all this different stuff served to him that way. He just basically had to jump from plate to plate, or car
right,
to car,
yep.
Depending on how you want to look at it.
Well, and there was less work.
Oh yeah.
He wasn't out flying around, and dinner came to him.
What a smart bird.
And
That's
I always
a very
wondered.
Smart bird.
Well, I kept wondering. I thought, well, when is it going to get picked up, and when is it going to catch on?
Right.
And was it a learned behavior, and where did it come from? How did he start doing this?
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah, well, it probably was another bird out there that basically just saw it, too, that, you know, it's basically, oh, you know, like you're saying, it was a 100th monkey. So it's putting it out there for different people. So this is the same old thing with nature, you know, and along with that, when it comes to levels of creativity, It's I was talking with another friend of mine this morning, and she was reminding me of her mother. Her mother loves to sew, and there's this whole level of creativity when she's putting things together. And she makes beautiful drapery and just all different kinds of stuff. So it's that level of service to others that she just really helps them create this just higher level of beauty in their homes, of comfort and home, you know, and things like that too. So, you know, it isn't necessarily a gardening thing. It's just whatever's connecting you in a level where you just, you know, it's that typical thing when you talk about stuff where I just started, you know, doing something and, you know, and next thing I knew, it was 3 hours later, and didn't seem like any time had passed because I was just so involved with what I was up to. You know, having that level of just synergy that's happening while you're in a creative space. So I've had that periodically. We have some. Do you have that, Jamie, where you're working on something and it just seems like you can't even believe how much time's gone by because you just got absorbed in what you were working on?
Well, it's either it goes by really fast or it goes by really slow if you're not doing well.
Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm still doing this.
Or like, that's all you got done? Oh, my God. How
yeah.
long has it been?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's usually cleaning the house or something, you know, that goes.
Well, try to make the best of your time. That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, being grateful, too, that, you know, you have the time that you can spend, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's all really good. So do you spend time in a garden? Do you spend time outdoors like that where you're really kind of connecting to, you know, nature?
Myself, well, we have a little patio garden, and it's progressively gotten better and filled in and a lot greener. Of course, we have been tending to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I take my little, I take a morning walk, and I'll enjoy the scenery and the foliage most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's in bloom up here.
Oh, and I bet it's just, we had that about a month ago. Well, even this last week, just different plants, like, you know, right now it's all the small blooming sweetheart roses and things like that, the spray roses and stuff from the local area of California. They're just, I mean, exploding. It's not even a matter of like, oh, how pretty, a few flowers. The whole bush is just in full bloom. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. You're just like, oh, my gosh. And I've heard it said that, you know, nature is always two seasons ahead of us. So when it comes to something like that, when you're just seeing this prolific level of blossoming and fruit and things like that, it just shows like, oh, we better be storing up because, you know, we've got some stuff coming down the pipe. So, you know, hopefully it's just this glorious joy of things in full bloom and being created. You know how that goes for just a symbology level of things that are going on. So,
and I'd like to watch the bees collect the pollen and go pollinate things. And their fat little legs, and they're all pollinized and going in and out of the little flowers and every little flower.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just really, mm-hmm. really amazing when you see that level of creation. You know, here we go talking about creation again on just the levels of, you know, being the busy little bees that
mm-hmm.
we are. And boy, I heard it said once by Einstein. He said, "Woe to us if we lose connection to the bees, because the bees are
right.
basically what really just keep the planet going." You know, keep us. I wonder what's going on with that. Remember, we had a show like last year where there was this fear that because of all the different levels of stuff that was going on with cell phones and just all the different
mm-hmm.
frequency changes and things like that, that there was going to be a problem with the bee population. I wonder if that's been kind of calmed down or where we are with that. I haven't really heard anything about that for a little while.
Well, there was also a newer concern. I think they were talking about banning certain pesticides with a certain type of chemical in it that's very detrimental to bees.
Oh, okay.
And, they were trying to lessen it or have it removed, you know, where they could use it for the crops and stuff, you know. But, again,
right.
we do need the bees, though, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said.
Well, you know, my mom was sharing with me, she's in the Midwest, and she still gets, like, the burpee seed catalogs and the different plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different plant catalogs, and they have cultivated plants now that are self-pollinating, so it won't
really?
Require the bees. So it won't require
oh
the bees. And she's very excited about that, and I'm very sad. you know, she's like, but yeah, but it, you know, it'll be self-pollinated. You won't need the bees. But yet there's just something about the process. It's kind of like, for me, I think about the GMO modifications.
Oh, yeah.
And it just makes me, I feel very sad.
Yeah.
I don't have a logical reason for it, but there's something wrong for me with that process.
Well, you just have
and
to wonder what's really happening to the level of the food, and is it something that's actually going to benefit us from the, you know, because if you go back to just even looking at honey, I mean, honey, they've even found that in, like, the pyramids, they don't find, you know, they have archaeological digs where they find honey. It was still good, and it was still edible after, well, I don't even know how long something had been in storage, because it just shows the viability and the sustainability of honey and how important it was just as a something that we've had forever on the planet for sustaining us, you know.
And I can see the value of the plants for self-pollination if you're in an area where you don't have bees on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a benefit. I can see the possibility.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. My brain just kind of goes, how do they do that? You know, it makes me want to go look at that kind of thing. So have you ever heard of the heritage seeds?
Next we're going to have cloning where men are carrying babies.
Yeah, well, you know, women have been hoping for that for a long time. So so we got to put each other, everybody gets on the same page, you know how that goes. Yeah, okay, yeah. And you know what, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I've heard of men, you know, in like the last decade that they've wanted that. Like, I want to be able to have a baby. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. You know, I don't know if they know what they really got themselves into, but okay.
Well, I think most women are going, especially women who have had babies, they're like, have fun with that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we've gone from bees to sexuality to babies. Okay, here we go. Just go quite the little conversation.
Let's go back to watering. Let's go back to watering roots. When you were talking about watering roots, I think I shared with you, but my mom sent me some pussy willows.
Uh-huh.
And I have them in a clear vase, and you can split them like you do for a rose, where you can cut the branch in quarters.
Uh-huh.
And you put them in the water, and they will root. And so I have got all of these roots, and I have got green growth coming from these pussy willows that is just amazing. And so it's like so many things have been rooting. You know, it's like I have an avocado seed that's just going crazy with roots, and the pussy willows with roots, and the geranium that I picked up that had broken off from somebody's yard. It was on the sidewalk, and I picked it up and stuck it in water with dirt, and it's got flowers. I had a hummingbird come at it the other day. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Things are rooting.
Well, just for our listeners, I mean, either guest with Gloria, I mean, as long as I've known you, which is, I don't know, I think we're going on 4 or 5 years now. I think 5 years, anyway. She's always been this person that, I mean, you've started apples by apple seeds. I mean, she'll get a seed going, and then an extinction, and she goes, yeah, my little apple tree is growing. I'm like, what? Okay. She just gets this thing in her head that she can do that. And, you know, and I think that's one thing that we forget when it comes to levels of being co-creative with the planet is that, you know, there's this poetic level of alchemy that happens when we come from levels of being able to nurture the soil and nurture a seed and have it be, you know, growing into something that's just, you know, it's the, you know, the acorn that turns into the oak. It's these magnificent things that just through a level of having an interest in something and being invested in something on a level where we're willing to give us a little bit of time and energy and resources to it, that it can just flourish. It can just flourish. And nature always gives us, you know, those subtle little things of being able to just rebound itself. It's like over the weekend, I wound up having a hydrangea that wasn't doing so well. We had like 100 degrees temperatures over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
With Mother's Day in, here in Southern California. And so I had a couple guys that were just like, you know, they're kind of wilting with the heat. And I was watering one today, and I mean, a matter of, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, I gave it a bunch of water, and I went off to go do something else. I come back, and it's, like, thriving, and I'm like, oh, my God. It was so amazing to me that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, turning your head for boiled water. You turn your head for a hydrangea, and all of a sudden it's rehydrated itself. It was just really amazing to me that it did it so quickly. So it's just those things that, it's those subtle things that we, you know, hopefully it's the sweetness that we don't take for granted in looking on that, how much something can subtly change, but be such a dramatic and beautiful reminder of us of how we, you know, we are strong, we are resilient, we can, you know, rebound when we get back into the gentle rhythm and flow of, you know, the way, you know, the world and nature is. Our nature on such a level too, because, you know, everything that exists around us is something that's expressing something through us. So it can just be this riddle, really beautiful metaphor of, you know, like we're talking about, you know, watering our roots, you know, and having a level of, I love to think of that as just spirituality. But I'm trying to think of it. Derek Rydell, he has a saying that says, you know, you water your roots and you strengthen your shoots. Your shoots get stronger, and he has this, you know, with a bamboo tree, the first 5 years that a bamboo grows, it only grows inches, but in the fifth year, it grows up, you know, like a foot at a time. It's amazing. So
or you could actually see it grow, I think, right?
Huh?
You could actually watch it grow if it's somewhere in the Philippines, so I guess it grows an inch
so
per hour. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing that it has that level of once the roots gets themselves, you know, solidly rooted, you know, solidified into the soil, it just takes off. So that's just a matter of, you know, when it comes to any level of whether it be a project or a relationship or whatever, we're just taking that time to be intimate with it on whatever level and connect to it on a level where we're willing to give it some resources and energy that, you know, it's a bamboo. 5 years later, it just sprung up and got crazy on me. So there you go.
Well, you know, they're gonna put some new meaning to the phrase about watching the grass grow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Or, you know, more like a weed, because, boy, these weeds just, you know, they find some place that they can, you know, be rocking out. They're doing good.
There's
you know?
Also a another type of plant, which is kind of an invasive type of plant that it's either brought in and it's not natural to the area and kind of takes over.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about a scotch broom.
Yeah, scotch broom can be pretty.
That's actually a flower that we
use in floristry sometimes.
Right, but I think in some, they were talking up here in Washington in some area where it had just taken over, and
mm-hmm.
it's such a plant that it will make sure that it replicates itself by the little seed pods get thrown out all over the place, and then little birds take them off, and they go other places, and once it gets a hold, it kind of changes the nature of the soil, so... It's good for it to grow, but nothing else can. And
right,
there was
right.
a gentleman up here that was trying to eradicate some of the scotch broom, and it's very hard. And then
uh-huh.
He was trying to reintroduce some of the natural native plants, you know, that are supposed to be there that kind of help the, you know, the ecology of that area. So there's a lot more natural plants and stuff that they need instead of the scotch broom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that's kind of funny when they say, you know, it's natural because here the scotch broom comes in. So basically it's changing the natural way
mm-hmm.
of something like that. So, you know, I was trying to remember, there was a TED Talk that was talking about, I'm trying to remember the way the guy named it, but he was talking about that kind of a concept where a plant will come in and basically have its own consciousness where it will come and decide that it's going to be the, you know, predominant plant. And he was talking about corn plants. The corn plant even basically had human beings thinking it was the plant that it needed to plant, so it basically would be the predominant plant. So it was working with the consciousness of, you know, human beings to have it get shifted and use it as their crop kind of thing. So it would be a dominant plant on, you know, planting for different regions of the earth. But I thought it was kind of interesting. I'm like, oh, that's a different way of looking at it. Instead of thinking we're the ones who were planting it, you know, the corn was the one basically, you know, manipulating everybody to think, oh, no, well, no, you really should plant a corn. Oh, that corn's like really, what do you think? You can hear this corn plant kind of whispering at everybody going, yeah, you should plant corn. Yeah, yeah, that's a ticket. So it's definitely a different way of looking at it when it comes to something like that. So, you know, coming from that level, it's just like, well, so... But,
and I know that most of it seems like a drought condition. Now they're setting themselves up for a big fire season again. So hopefully
yeah.
we'll have some wetter weather to help the ground, you know, and the plants and everything.
Yeah. Is this, does it seem like the Great Northwest is getting wetter? Is wetter this year?
They had a big snowpack and a pretty successful snow season, but there's always, you know, they always say that there's a shortage or a drought, you know, for some reason.
Right.
Everything is really green now, but, you know, I guess they have to try to leverage that for the future, you know, in the coming months, so they'll have enough water.
Well, and I think, too, depending on the rest of the country, what's happening in one area, you know, because I know even in Texas, they were actually trucking water in, right?
Right.
They're getting it from other places and trucking it in. So, you know, having it be this commodity that they basically trade and stuff like that when it comes to a level of...
With the big, I mean, like the big temperature differences, like for instance, like a week ago, it may have been really snowing in like Minnesota or Minneapolis, and then this week it's like in the 80 to 90 degrees. So you have that a big disparity of temperature, and then up here you have flooding because all the mountains, it starts to. Melt, and so you have a lot of water where it shouldn't be, you know.
Yeah, well, we've got the situation where I know Gloria and I are kind of experiencing the same kind of thing. It's going to be cool for like maybe 2 or 3 days, and then it heats up, and it really heats up, like we're talking about, for 2 or 3 days, and then it's got this radical cool-off kind of a thing. So it's this wave that goes up and down when it comes to levels of temperature. So we were all like, boy, what the heck? It's like everybody's got to keep their shorts out and their jacket at the same time because we just don't know what it's going to be from day to day. Well, you know, you can definitely see that jet stream, we talked about that last year as well, that, you know, the jet stream has definitely shifted and changed because of the you know, our polar shifts and stuff like that have definitely affected the planet. So it's definitely, we're in a different it's not Kansas anymore, you know, as they say with, you know, the Wizard of Oz and all that kinds of stuff. We're in a different level of, you know, dealing with things. So it's just a very interesting time. It's very interesting.
Did you have a nice Mother's Day?
Yes, I did. Thank you for asking. It was. How about you, Miss Gloria? Miss Gloria has sent me a really nice little voicemail that I appreciated. So it's always nice to have all the moms saying, hey, good job, Mom.
Well, you're always so busy celebrating all of the mothers in the world.
Yes. Well, you know, as part of being a florist, I'm always looking out to make sure all the other orders and stuff's going. But, you know, I've come to learn as I've gotten older that it doesn't have to be on the day. It's just a matter of, you know, celebrations should happen every day, and we don't necessarily have to make it that day just because somebody says so. You know how that goes. It's like my birthday. My birthday lasts a whole month. So, you know, it's not like one day. It's a month. It's a whole month of celebration. So there you go. And, you know, and then
you
we take somebody else and we celebrate them. So it's always good.
Well, we can spread it out to 1 week a year, 1 week a month, too. Because then
That's true. You know, and I was talking to a friend of mine. She was talking about her daughter, the younger daughter was talking about the older daughter and saying, you know, you're not my mom, but yet there should be a special day for you for the kind of contributions that you've made to my life. And I thought, wouldn't that be great? Besides your birthday, you have one day a year that's Jamie Day or, you know, Gloria Robin Day. You know, it's just a day that people just come out and they celebrate you just because they can.
So it's like a work personal day.
Like, yeah, it's just a personal day kind of a thing. And then another friend of mine was saying that, you know, they all got together and they had a non-birthday party. Nobody's birthday was that day, but everybody got celebrated. They had a cake, and everybody celebrated each other. It wasn't in a matter that it was one particular person that got celebrated.
Yeah, it's like New Year's Eve.
That's such a great idea. Yeah, it's an unbirthday party. They had an unbirthday party because nobody had a birthday, so it was great. So everybody celebrated each other. You know,
they had
a card, and they all, you know, they'd have one person they sent the card to, and just kind of worked it and played with the whole concept. I thought that was a great thing, great idea. Great idea. Because, you know, we all matter and we all are significant, and sometimes we just take that for granted when we get focused on the different things in life. And just like we were talking about before, you know, watering your roots of relationship and love and just putting it out there so it can just blow out and just be a beautiful thing. There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like normal, our half an hour goes super, super fast. I thank you guys for always joining me. And for everybody who's listening, we thank you as well for being here live or being on demand. And we will see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time.